verse 14 with me. And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of rams. Make a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering above of badger's skins. Now, you remember we talked about the pins and the cords. Picture the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as the pins and the cords were inseparable, so is the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lot make they make much of his person in the sense that he's just a man and he's a good man, a holy man. Even view him sometimes as a savior. But they present him in such a pitiful way that he can't do anything for you unless you let him. Now that's not the person, and that's certainly not the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He read it tonight. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jehovah Savior. That's what that means. Joshua. Savior. God our Savior. Emmanuel. God with us. And said that he shall save his people from their sins. Now that's the person of Christ and the work of Christ. Named who he was, how he came into this world, and what he did while he was here. Come to save his people from their sins. And then people make much of his work. Talk about, you know, trusting the finished work. But beloved, you can't have one without the other. And the work is only good as the person who does it. And the Lord Jesus Christ performed a work because of who he was and who he is and who he'll always be. He is God Almighty, manifest in the flesh. And he came to this earth to do something for a people that God gave him in eternity. And bless his holy name, he's going to do it. And I tell you what, I trust him. And I trust what he did. And I bless him for who he did it for. And I praise him for where he is now, seated at God's right hand, looking to him. Started looking, going to keep on looking, until I don't look anymore. All right. That's not my message. That's not even my introduction. That's what Brad stirred up in me, reading that verse of Scripture. But the person and work of Christ, they go together. They go together. They go together. Now, there in verse 14, it talks about the coverings of the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was covered with two materials. Badger skins and ram skins dyed red. I want us to look at the badger skins. And I tell you, you know, when you see that tent, this is what the badger skin like. It looked like a skin, the skins of an animal, sewed together and made real smooth. But they were animal skins. Inside and outside, they were animal skins. Badger skins and ram skins dyed red. And I want to look at the badger skins tonight. And when anyone viewed that tabernacle, if you stood afar off from the tabernacle, all they saw was a tent. A tent stretched out, and all they would see was badger skins. There was nothing about it. That was glorious, nothing about it. Had no form about it, no beauty about it, no comeliness about it. It was so ordinary. Nothing special about it. When you looked at it, you just saw a tent made out of animal skins. Badger skins. But look, and I will keep this, and look over here with me in Isaiah 53. You think if I... Look what our Lord just says about our Master, our Lord Jesus. In Isaiah 53:1. Now let's look in verse 2. Oh, all they viewed was just a tent of badger skins. But look what it says in verse 2 of Isaiah 53. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. Listen to this now. He hath no form, nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire. And when people looked at that tabernacle, there was no beauty about it. There's no glory about it. No special form about it. It looks so ordinary. But God purposed this covering as a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ as he passed through this world. Now, he was the tabernacle of God among men. And when our Lord Jesus come into this world and appeared into this world, it's how he appeared in the eyes of men. There was no beauty about him. There was no form about him. There was no comeliness about him. No, he was just to them an ordinary man. And when any heathen saw the tabernacle covered with badger skin, they'd look at that and say, Boy, look at them poor old pitiful Israelites. Oh, they got a tent they meet in. They just got an old tent to meet in, made out of badger skin. They scoff at it. And they say, boy, look over here. We got big temples over here. We got big, beautiful temples. We got big pillars holding them up. We got this wonderful place that we gather in here. You all meeting in an old tent over there? That's awful. He said, you all need to have a building like ours. You need to have a building made with some silver and made some gold and got some gold and all, got all this stuff. We got you need to come and worship with us. And I tell you, there's lots of people that believe real worship must be where silver and gold and big fine buildings are. But I tell you what, God himself said, I dwell not in temples made by hands. I don't care how big the edifice is. I don't care how many millions they spend on it. I don't care how many people go to it. I don't care how much beauty's inside of it and outside of it. God does not dwell in temples made with hands. Amen. He don't do it. And I tell you what, and when our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, that's the way people viewed him. Mocked him, scoffed him, scorned him. But when you have real faith, God gives you faith, you can see inside that tabernacle. You look past the outward. You look past what you see on the outside. And you look within what's inside that tabernacle. And you see our blessed Savior. When our Lord Jesus came to dwell in tabernacle among men, God gave some people eyes to see who he really was. Who he really was. Look over here. Our Lord, you know, when he warned about us looking on the outward appearance. And I tell you what, that's what men done. Look over here in Matthew 23. And people, you know, this is a bad habit we have, but it's one of those things we do. It's one of those things. And our Lord warned us about looking on the outward appearance, and that's what people do. I remember going down to Florida one time, and a fellow took me to a big, big, huge, huge edifice. Held 3,000 people. And it'd be full. I don't know how many ministers they had in it. And it was unbelievable. The cheapest, the lowest paid minister among them was $60,000 a year in that particular place. And he took me around and showed me around that place, and oh, it was impressive. It was impressive. But you know, God saved him from that and made a sovereign grace preacher out of him. That's Greg Elmquist. He said, I'm going to show you what a mess I was in. And all people can look on the outward appearance, but our Lord warned us about that. Look what he said here in verse 27 and 28. Our Lord said this. Said, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, You're like unto whitest sepulchres. Oh my, like a grave which indeed appears beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And that's what our Lord says. Don't look on the outward appearance. And no one who saw the tabernacle under the covering of the badger skin would have thought that, would have dreamed of the wealth and preciousness and glory that was inside that tabernacle. When you went inside that tabernacle, and we'll deal with that later, you would not have dreamed of the wealth. When you went inside that, you had the outer court, 30 by 15. The inner court, the holiest of holies, was 15 by 15. And when you had ever dreamed of the wealth, the gold, the form, the color, the glorious beauty within, when you looked on the inside of this, you know what you'd see? You'd see a golden table. Oh, when you went in there underneath that badger skin, you'd see a golden table. And it has showbread on it, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ being the bread of life. Then that over here it had a golden lampstand. Give off light for them in there. Christ is our light. And then they had a golden altar of incense right there before you went behind the veil. And oh, when you went in there, you'd breathe that incense that went up, typifying the prayers of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, that was under the badger skin. And then you see that beautiful veil that was between the holy place and the most holy place. Beautiful veil, all embroidered with scarlet, blue, and fine side, twined linen. Beautiful, glorious thing hung there. And oh my, then you go behind that veil, and then you see the Ark of the Covenant with God's holy law inside of it. And then, but God in His sovereign mercy, what He did is He put a golden table on top of that. And on that golden table, He called it a mercy seat. That God will meet us here in mercy. That God will have a way to save us and cover that holy law whereby He can save us and justify us and cleanse us and declare us righteous. And then you look over that, and then you see two gold cherubim, two golden angels with their wings spread way out. And they both would look one toward another, and their eyes cast down on that mercy seat. Gold. That's under that badger skin. Oh, and then when you got inside there, you know what those walls were inside there, inside that badger skin? The walls was made of gold. The walls. You went in there and the boards that you looked at them, gold. Gold. That's under the badger skin. Huh? Oh my. And then you looked at the ceiling. Underneath those ram skins, underneath those badger skins, there was a linen cloth stretched over that, pure white, purest white, stretched over it on the inside. And then you'd see those cherubims in blue and purple and scarlet. And then when you went in behind, underneath that badger skin, then and only then could you say, I'm in the place where God is. I see God in this place. And it's only when you see past our Lord Jesus Christ, more than just a man, that you see the glory and the beauty that's within Him. Huh? Oh, and you can only get inside. You know, there's only way that you could get into that beautiful tabernacle, seeing all that glory and all that beauty. You know how you got in there? First thing you done, you had to wash. And they had to go through that labor. And then you had to go by way of a brazen altar. You had to have a sacrifice, and you had to be made clean. You had to be made pure. You had to be made holy. And you had to go where that blood was shed before you could go any further. And beloved, that's what God done for us. Oh my. And I tell you something, probably a lot of those Israelites despised that tent too. Probably a lot of them despised it. And I tell you, they'd gather there and they despise those badger skin. But our Lord Jesus Christ, how many people looked at Him and didn't see nothing more than a man. And not only a man, but a poor man. And people ask oftentimes, well, what do you all have? What do you have? Well, we have what God provided for us. His blessed Son. Who would want any more? Huh? God gave us all He could possibly give us. Could not give any more. Could God have anything more precious, anything more virtuous, anything more glorious, anything more powerful? And we have God's blessed Son. And He came into this world to be us, as Brad prayed and talked about, being our representative. To be our Savior, to be our sacrifice, to be our sin offering, to be our sacrifice. To put away our sins by the sacrifice of Himself. What else do we have? We've got an altar. We've got an altar. And our altar's not in this world. Our altar sits at God's right hand. We go to an altar. I go to an altar. Don't you go to an altar? And it's not down here. And you go some places, they got pads on the floor so you won't hurt your knees. Because you know you can't pray unless you're on your knees. But our Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you, find Him several times standing looking up into heaven, and He's praying with His eyes up to heaven and standing on His feet. But oh, listen. We got an altar. And we can approach God by that altar. Which is the Lord. Is that all? Is that enough? And when men saw our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, He was so poor, and His mother and father were so poor, that when He was born, they borrowed some old clothes, some old rags, to swaddle Him in. To wrap Him in. To comfort Him in. You'd get a baby at the hospital. The first thing they do, they wrap them so tight that they can't move. And then put a toboggan over their head. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, born in a manger, where cattle was fed, animals laid. And He is so poor. And they wrapped Him in some old clothes and some old swaddling clothes and wrapped Him up. Poor. Poor. And then when our Lord Jesus grew up, went out into the world to enter into the ministry, to enter into the ministry God gave Him, He wore an old coarse robe, seamless robe. And when they saw that, all they saw was a poor man. A pitiful man. A man that had no abilities. A man that had no gifts. A man that had no glory. And they treated Him, and they treated Him as one despised. They treated Him with contempt. They treated Him with the awfulest scorn, despised and rejected. And look over here in John 8:23 with me. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, you know what He said about some men? That's why He said there's no comeliness about Him, beauty about Him. No comeliness about Him, no beauty about Him. But I tell you what, they saw beauty. I tell you what, people did see beauty in those days. They saw those priests standing in their robes, standing on the street corners, praying, making long prayers for to be seen of men. But oh, not our Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't see a sovereign. They didn't see a creator. They didn't see a maker of heaven and earth. Look what it said in John 8:23. This is our Master speaking. He said unto them, "You're from beneath. I'm from above." That's a big distance, ain't it? Huh? He said, "You are from beneath. I'm from above. I came down. I was above all things. I was above everything. No one was above me except God my Father." And look what he says. "You're of this world. And I'm not of this world. I said therefore unto you, you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins." Then listen to what they said to him now. Then they said unto him, "Who in the world are you? Who are you? Who are you?" Our Lord said unto them, just like I told you from the beginning. Just like I've always told you. And see, they said, "I'm from above. You're from beneath." They still didn't recognize it. Look over here in John 8:51. Look over here in verse 51. You know, they didn't see a sovereign Lord. They didn't see an almighty God. They didn't see the man that created this heavens and upholds it by the word of his power. They didn't see him who put the stars in the heavens, calls them all by name. That's not who they saw. Our Lord said in verse 51, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." Now listen now what they said. The Jews said unto him, "Now we know that you have a devil." What? Telling the Son of God? "Now we know." They're talking to God. They're talking to Christ. They're talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. "Now we know that thou hast a devil." How do you know? Because Abraham's dead. And Abraham was our father. And the prophets are dead. And then you turn around and tell us, when we believe Abraham, believe Moses and the prophets, and you turn around and tell us that if a fellow don't keep your saying, you'll die in your sins, never taste of death. And they ask him this, "Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself to be? Who do you think you are?" That's what they're saying. Our Lord answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I'd be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying." Now watch this. Your father Abraham, the one that you put so much confidence in, put so much hope in. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it, and oh, he was so glad. This said the Jews unto him. They just keep asking him questions. They ain't seen nothing yet. They're not yet 50 years old. "And hast thou seen Abraham?" You know what our Master said? "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was." Well, why the hell did they react to that? They ought to just rejoiced. They said, "Oh my, what a blessed, blessed thing." He said, "I am. We know who I am is. I am the one that sent Moses to us. I am the one that self-existed. I am the great and glorious God." Oh, they should have rejoiced. But what did they do? Then they took up stones to cast at him. Going to stone him to death. But this, that's what I was talking about. He was, there's no beauty about him that they saw. And our Lord Jesus Christ came down from his eternal throne, from his blessed throne, from rejoicing in his Father, daily his delight, the angels worshiping him. And he came down from his glorious eternal throne, left his Father's bosom to come down into this earth, condescend to come down to this earth, and to visit, came to be among his people. And he came, and our Lord Jesus said it this way, Father, all that you give me, I've not lost a one of them. I come here, Father, you gave them to me, and they were thine, and I've saved them, and there's only one been lost. And he was lost from the beginning, the son of perdition. And he came down here to save his elect, to save his chosen people. And I guarantee you, beloved, he came down here to do that, and that's done. Yeah. It's done. It ain't going to be done. It's done. There's if God tarries his coming, there's elect people that ain't even been born yet. And if they're God's elect, he's already died for them. Already put their sins away. Now, ain't that right? When Isaac was born, he's one of God's elect. When Jacob was born, he's one of God's elect. Esau wasn't. And our Lord Jesus Christ came here to save his chosen people. And I tell you, no matter what anybody saw in him, and I tell you something, he's that true tabernacle which God pitched and not man. That one in the wilderness was pitched by man. God pitched this tabernacle, our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, our Lord, is the dwelling place of God where men can know him, men can worship him, and men can submit to him, and men can rejoice in him, and men can fall down before him and meet with God. As men met with God in the tabernacle, God only meets men in his blessed Son. And there's no form or beauty that men saw him. And when God gives them a view, gives a man a view of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and that beauty that's within him, the glory that's only his, the glory that's only his. And I tell you, he's got all the Word dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. His glory as the only begotten Son of God. But when God gives a man a view of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that glory and all that beauty of his grace, that beauty of his mercy, that beauty of his compassion, that beauty of his sovereignty, that beauty of his pity, that beauty of his mighty work, that beauty of his salvation. When you see that beauty that's in our Lord Jesus Christ, and I tell you, when you know how you see it, you first of all got to go by way of a cross. You got to go where a sacrifice was offered, where blood was shed, where death was given. And I tell you what, when you go by the way of that cross, you know what? You confess that shed blood, that work that man did, that salvation that he accomplished when he said it is finished, you say that's the only hope and only salvation I have is what he did and who did it on that blessed cross. If you ever get a view of Christ, you'll say that's it, that's him. I'm not looking no place else. I'm not looking for nothing else. If you ever find what you're looking for, you quit looking. And listen, that's the wrong way of saying it. Whenever God finds out who he's looking for, he stops looking. He gets them. And God only looked to one place, his blessed Son. But when God gives us a view of him, we first see his blessed, blessed place taking place for us on that cross. I remember, and I hope I'm not taking too long. I remember early one morning, Early one morning, sitting at the kitchen table, looking out the window. And God opened my heart to see the Lord Jesus Christ bearing my sin on that cross. Me, just me. My heart broke that morning. Oh, it broke. I wept and wept and wept, not counting tears to be out of anything. But I was so thankful. I was so grateful. I was so blessed. My heart and burdens were so lifted. My guilt was gone. And then, beloved, He's been my only hope and He's been my only plea since then. Huh? He's only my salvation. He only is my salvation. And if that's not good enough, there won't be none at all. You can go home, put your head down on your pillow tonight, and if the Lord calls you home in the morning, Christ is your only salvation, you'll wake up with Him in the morning. I know and you know, no one will ever love Him and behold His beauty until God takes out that stony heart and puts in a heart of flesh. Huh? And He breaks that heart over sin. And when that heart's broken over sin, He got to give you a heart, a new heart that can be broken over sin. And when it's broken over sin, it comes to see that glory and that beauty that's only in our Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me in Psalm 27, verse 4. And I'll close with this. You know, those that only seen the badger skins have not been very impressed. Like those men in the Scriptures, they weren't very impressed. But when God gives you eyes to see inside the tabernacle, God gives you eyes to see that beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ, to see Him in His glory. Like that woman said, left her water pot and said, come see a man. Oh, to see Him in His glory and Christ in you the hope of glory. Look what it says in verse 4. Psalm 27. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and then to inquire of Him in His temple. Oh my, that's what we're looking for. Behold the King in His beauty. Oh Lord, our gracious, gracious Master, our blessed Savior, I thank You for what's been done in this service, for the prayers that's been prayed, Scriptures that's been read, the songs that's been sung. And I pray that all those things, along with this message, would cause the saints of God to be blessed, to be refreshed, to be encouraged and be edified, be uplifted. And Lord, we pray for Your preserving power to keep us going out and coming in, to watch over us in our getting up and our getting down. Lord, we are like children. It's not in us to direct our steps, so we ask You to be the one who directs them. Direct our steps. Order our lives. And Lord, as Brad's already prayed, God, give us a greater love and a greater, deeper love for You than we've ever experienced. And give us a faith that would never waver, never waver. And give us eyes to only look to You. And we ask these things in Your blessed name. Amen. Amen. He's the Savior of my soul. Jesus, my Jesus, He's the Savior of my soul. He's the Savior of my soul. Jesus, 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 He's the Savior of my soul. He's the Savior of my soul. Thank God He is. See you Wednesday, God willing.